Greetings and good morning and welcome back to Scripture and Prophecy. I'm Sean, your host, and the website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Today is Monday, December 18th, 2017, and welcome back. For those of you who are praying for me over the weekend, I told you guys I had a half marathon I was running. I've been training for about 8 weeks. And I asked for your prayers, and everything went pretty well. I'm pretty sore and beat up still today, but everything went well. I held up and was not quite at my goal time and pace, but fairly close, and it was cold, 30 degrees outside, and there was some wind, and there was some pretty challenging hills. So those of you who are runners, I finished an hour and 46 minutes, not super fast, but decently fast. So some of you may think that's incredibly fast, and some of you may think that that's pretty average, and I think it's pretty average myself. But I just want to say thank you for those of you who took the time to pray and wish me well. Well, today we're getting into Genesis chapter 37, and we're dealing with Joseph now. And in this chapter, Joseph has a few dreams, shares it with his brothers, and it all ends with Joseph being sold into slavery and Jacob mourning really hardly about his son. And so I got a Bible trivia question for you before we get started. Who sold Joseph into slavery? And if your answer is it was his brothers, my question to you is, are you sure? We'll see what happens when we actually get to that passage. Before I get started, I want to read a little bit of commentary from Matthew Henry, just two or three sentences, and then we'll get started. He has this to say. He says, in Joseph's history, we see something of Christ, who was first humbled and then exalted. It also shows the lot of Christians, who must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom. And so he's saying, you know, Joseph is kind of a Christ-like figure. He's humbled, and then he's exalted. And in the same way, as Christians, we go through this in our own lives. You know, there's many tribulations and trials and testings that get us to the place where we're finally like Christ. And so I definitely can see that correlation with Joseph, which is the character that we're going to be paying the most attention to for the next couple of chapters. So, without further delay, let's go ahead and jump in and see what the Word of God has to say about Joseph. Genesis chapter 37, verse 1, King James Bible. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, real quick, scriptures make it clear that Jacob loved Joseph above all the other children, which is clearly a mistake, right? You don't show massive favor to one child over another. Or it leads to family quarrels, which we're seeing develop here. And the scriptures say that he loved him because he was the son of his old age. But I can't help but wonder if there's a couple of other things that may have played a part in that. Number one, Joseph is treated like the firstborn son, right? The firstborn son is the one who's supposed to get the blessings and who's supposed to be, you know, the one above the others. But in a sense, Joseph is a firstborn. He's the firstborn of Rachel, you know, the wife that Jacob really wanted, the wife that Jacob really loved. You know, he worked 7 years for Rachel, and then he's tricked in the middle of the night of, you know, as Laban brings in Leah instead of Rachel, and he is intimate with Leah, so then he has to work 7 more years for Rachel, and in the meantime, Leah's having these kids. And so Joseph was the firstborn to the wife that Jacob really wanted. And not only that, if we remember, we go, you know, Reuben being the firstborn, if we go back just in what we read last week, Reuben is sleeping with his dad's concubine, his dad's wife, Bilhah. So, you know, it'd be kind of hard to love Reuben as your firstborn and want to give him all the blessings when he's sleeping with one of your wives. I mean, that's about as crazy and wicked as it gets when your own child is sleeping with one of your wives. And so there's a lot more to my point with rambling all this is just to give some food for thought. You know, maybe there's more to this than just the very basics. Verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray unto you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dream and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. And he told it to his brethren, and he said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy brother and thy brethren indeed come bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. All right, so Joseph's having these dreams. He's having dreams that these bundles of sheaves are bowing down to his bundle of sheaves. So, you know, his brothers, you know, the scriptures say his brothers interpret the dream as though, meaning that they themselves will one day bow down to Joseph. And they're saying, you really think we're going to bow down over to you? You're going to rule over us? Then he has another dream where it's not just sheaves at this point. We've got the sun, moon, and stars bowing down. Now, there's good reason and some reason and speculation amongst theologians that sometimes the sun, moon, and stars in contexts like this represents rulers, you know, rulers and powers and things like that. And so one may interpret this dream as, you know, that authorities and powers and rulers would even bow down to Joseph. You'll see in the book of Revelation, you know, the stars falling from heaven and that kind of language when we deal with end times. Well, it may mean literally stars falling down from heaven, or it may just be symbolic, meaning rulers and people in high places falling, coming to their ruin, things of that nature. And of course, Jacob interprets the dream that same way, saying, you think I'm... You know, your father, you think, and we're all going to bow down to you. But while his brothers got even angrier, more angry, and envied him, the scriptures does say that Jacob observed the saying. So maybe he's pondering on what these dreams could possibly mean. Verse 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed thy flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here I am. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" When I was reviewing this this morning's podcast, I was reviewing it last night, I thought, man, that's interesting. Who is this weird person just wandering in the field that Joseph's talking to? The scriptures don't really tell us, but these are the kind of strange questions that I ask myself when I'm doing these studies. Who is this person? Verse 16, and he said, "I seek my brethren, tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them saying, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and found them in Dothan. And when he saw them afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said to one another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we'll say some evil beast have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again." So here we have, the brothers are contemplating, hey, here comes the dreamer boy. Let's kill him and say some beast did it. But Reuben, the eldest, comes along and says, no, let's not do that. Let's put him in a pit in the middle of the wilderness. And it says that, you know, Reuben's plan here was to put him in the pit, that nothing would happen to him, and then he would deliver him to his father again later. That's what the scriptures appear to be saying. So Reuben's, you know, trying to make a plan where he can find a way to save his little brother. So he says, hey, let's put him in this pit. And the scriptures say that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. You know, so Reuben's trying to, you know, to stop this from going down. And then he'll get him out of the pit and give him to his brothers later, or give him to his father later. Verse 23, and it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many collars that was on him. And they took him and they cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. All right, so they put him in the pit. The brothers, you know, they're sitting somewhere else. They're having some sandwiches, eating some food, having some lunch. And they see some Ishmaelites coming, and they think, hey, we should just sell them to the Ishmaelites. And so, you know, if you read a children's book, or if you hear a pastor who doesn't know his Bible teaching the Word of God, you would believe that that's what happened. That they went and they got him, sold him to the Ishmaelites like they were contemplating. But that's not what happened. Let's look at the next verse, verse 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they, the Ishmaelites that is, brought Joseph into Egypt. So you see, these Midianites end up coming by and they draw Joseph out of the pit. They sell him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And then the Ishmaelites bring Joseph on to Egypt. Next verse, verse 29. And Reuben returned to the pit. Remember, Reuben was going to go back to the pit to get his brother and deliver him. Deliver him out of this problem. Deliver him back to his father. And Reuben returned to the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren. And he said, The child is not. And I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and they killed a kid of goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, This we have found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it. And he said, It is my son's coat, an evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and he put on sackcloth upon his loins, and he mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. And that is Genesis chapter 37. And you know, there's a couple things that I've never noticed, and this isn't the first time I've read this, you know. I've read this several times, but this is the first time that I've noticed a few things. Number one, I never caught on to the fact that Reuben was trying to deliver his brother. And then when he gets back to the pit and finds out that his brother's not there anymore, he's renting his clothes and he's distraught about it. And number two, I never paid attention to the fact that the Midianites are the ones who actually sold Joseph unto Egypt. As the last verse says, and the Midianites sold him to Egypt unto Potiphar. His brothers were just contemplating doing this. But it was actually the Midianites who did the selling. And, while his brothers are still guilty, you know, they're the ones that put him in the pit. So technically the sin is still on them. It's just a different view than what I had realized before. Very, very interesting. And so next week, we'll read chapter 38. We're going to be dealing with Joseph for a while. 39 deals with Joseph and the Potiphar's wife, that story. And chapter 40 deals with, you know, Joseph interpreting dreams in prison. And then 41 deals with him dealing with the Pharaoh's dream. 42 is when his brothers come to Egypt. And, you know, literally we're dealing with Joseph all the way through until we get to almost the last three or four chapters, which will deal with the end of Genesis and talk more about Jacob and Jacob's descendants. But that's what we're going to be dealing with moving forward. Anyway, I hope I gave you some things to think about. Maybe you've already noticed all this. And if you have, that's awesome. But if you haven't, hey, you learned something new today. And it's just fun for me. I just enjoy digging into the Word, you know. We don't necessarily have to have like a scheduled message every week or whatever. We can just open the Bible, see what it says, and learn what we need to learn from God's Word. And I just can't help but think that's the way it's supposed to be, right? You open it, you discuss a chapter, or you discuss a handful of verses, and there's your message for the day. And you know what I mean? It's not as complicated. We don't have to have, you know, scheduled slides and stuff that get handed down from mega churches and from seminary schools and things like that. All we have to do is open the Word of God and see what it has to say to us. That's the podcast for today. I pray that it blesses you, and I hope that you have a great Monday morning, Monday afternoon. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.